Dear congregation belonging to Christ, how does your mind and heart respond to this scripture, our focus of this morning, Psalm 119, verse 68? You are good and do good, says the psalmist about the Lord. Teach me your statutes. This morning, are you here sitting in church or listening online, perhaps, having this as your testimony and your confession of faith for those around you at home and in the church fellowship and in our world in which we live? Do we say about the Lord, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Last week we thought about, you may remember, God being the unchanging God in all generations. Well, this time, let's consider something of him being the God who is good and does good. All through Scripture, this is told us. And amazingly, I never really thought about this before, but a lot in the Psalms, which speaks of the people of God in their life, acknowledging God being good and his goodness being so great. Think of the four times just in Psalm 107. Where we have this refrain, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that psalm begins, as other psalms say, saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, beloved, it was already last week that I decided to preach on this subject. And I had in view also then the fact that we had extended a call to candidate Chris Maurick, and that we were awaiting with prayerful anticipation his response to our call. Would you and I be able to say to the Lord, regardless the response, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Either way, yes, that should be our response when it's well. But this morning, can we not say with humble thanksgiving and jubilation, yes, before God and each other, with candidate Chris now having informed us yesterday of having accepted the call sent to him by us just 2 weeks ago. Maybe you remember we began this year, 2022, on its first Sunday, January 2, with the farewell service of our first minister as congregation. A service where on the basis of Numbers 27, verse 15 to 18, we also, with Moses, looked to the Lord and his leading for him mercifully providing us a new minister in due course. And now, within the same year, with only 8 months of being vacant, without our own pastor as congregation, wonderfully, the Lord is graciously giving us a new minister to shepherd us in his name in the green pastures of his word. Oh, in this matter, would you not agree? God has been very gracious and good to us. And what reasons for us to say then to the Lord now with gladness and gratitude, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. And likewise, what about when your own personal circumstances are presently maybe not so good? In fact, perhaps hard and discouraging and most difficult to bear even. Are not some of you really actually going through such a time right now? When the sun is shining, it can be relatively easy to say, God is good always. But what about when the sun is not shining, so to speak, and you are meeting with various trials and afflictions? Well, interestingly, if you have your Bibles open, you'll notice the psalmist in our text of Psalm 119, verse 68, he praises God and his goodness in a context also of having suffered various trials and afflictions, meeting also with many challenges in the world around him. Our text teaches us, dear congregation, that what is the true believer's confession of faith in all circumstances of life? Yes, learned by God's grace and spirit. Oh, Lord, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. How good when we may be all, this may be all our believing, joyful testimony. And in that light, let's consider the theme for our sermon now, faithfully confessing that God is good and does good. And we'll consider three thoughts, the psalmist's praise in this regard, his perspective, and his petition. With our first point, you agree, the psalmist is praising God for who he is when he testifies, "You are good." Again, isn't this the absolute truth about the one only true God? The Lord is only, always, totally, perfectly good. In his being and in all his works and ways, there's no good apart from God or beyond God or better than God. And God is always the only source of whatever is truly good. Are you familiar with the words in Mark 10, where we are told of a rich young ruler approaching Jesus, thinking him to be a very wise man, and saying to him, "Good teacher"? And then Jesus responds, as we are told in Mark 10, 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." And of course we know Jesus is God, come in the flesh. So he is good. But Jesus was here driving the point to that rich young ruler that we all need to realize only God is good in the sense of totally and perfectly, completely, infinitely, eternally, bountifully good. There's nothing good in this fallen world apart from God. And whatever we find that is good, it's only always because of him. You notice how in our text, in the psalmist's praise of God, he first just praises God for being good. God is good. What does that mean? Good in the sense of there's absolutely nothing lacking in him, and he's always full of bountiful generosity in everything about him. Bountiful generosity. That's what him being good is about. Nothing can ever be added to him in his goodness. Nothing can ever make him better or more good. No, he is himself good in every way. As one put it, the creature's good is a super added quality, but in God, it is his essence and it's his excellence. God is naturally and essentially and infinitely, unchangeably, splendidly, beautifully, bountifully, eternally good. And as stated in Psalm 52, verse 1, the goodness of God endures continually. His goodness is underived from any other source. And his goodness is the only source for any and all goodness found elsewhere, outside of him. While in Romans 3, verse 12, Paul describes fallen mankind, including us all by nature, you realize, in our sins and sinfulness, and he says then there is none good. There is none good. No, not one. And at the same time, we know the Bible teaches God, he is only good. And Belgic Confession, Article 1, in describing God, all his attributes, it ends with saying, God is good. And the overflowing fountain of all good. You should think of him being good in the sense of being overflowing, bountiful goodness in his being and in his ways, in every way. As we learned last week, also from James 1:17, which the elder of service again quoted, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Well, just to confirm with you how often in the book of Psalms, God is praised as being so good. Just listen to these few references. Psalm 25:8 declares, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way." Psalm 34, verse 8 exhorts, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Psalm 69:16 gives a prayer that says, "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies." Then in Psalm 86, verse 5, there is this confidence expressed in God's grace, testifying, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you." Maybe with me you think too of Psalm 100, which we sang from this morning, that phrase, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Why? Well, what does it say in verse 5? For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So we could go on, really, giving more texts from all Scripture. But let's realize this is something all throughout the Bible. And the Bible tells us about God being good, that He's good, as the psalmist says, in all His works. That is good as Creator God. Think of that. Good as God of providence in His care for us. And good as God of salvation. So God is to be praised in all three areas and ways. And you know, in the book of Psalms, as well as all Scripture, His goodness is exalted. It might be a good Sunday exercise to look just in the Psalms where God's goodness is praised in His creative handiwork, in His providential ways, and in His saving works through Jesus Christ. But going to other Scriptures as well, it's full of this all. When God created the world, Genesis 1, with God's creative handiwork, day after day, we are told, and God saw that it was good. At the end of Genesis 1, after the 6 days of creation, we read, then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good, full of bountiful generosity, reflecting His goodness. And with His works of providence, hear what the Apostle Peter says in Acts 10, verse 38, in praise to the triune God, saying there how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. In Romans 8, 28, a verse you may well know, we have the assurance of faith for believers, and they testify, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. But then, yes, especially in the divine works of salvation and redemption. Oh, all Scripture proclaims, doesn't it? And it exclaims that God is good and does good infinitely so, and even exceedingly abundantly so, above all that we could ask or think. All the good pleasure of the Lord's goodness is revealed to us in Christ Jesus. Particularly in the view of the full and free salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We see the goodwill, the manifold goodwill of God towards us. Dear congregation, it's so endlessly true what is stated in Nahum 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. With Jesus Christ as you're my Savior from all sin and evil, we have the good shepherd leading our lives to lead us in the way everlasting, that we may know His goodness. And what does the end of that psalm say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well now, beloved, hearing all this praise of God being so good in every way, so full of bountiful goodness, His whole being in all His ways, is such like praise of God triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, typical of us? Is it your and my testimony before Him and before each other? Isn't it the case what leads people to become saved and what marks the true Christians in this life is hearty confession and repeated testimony of God as infinitely and perfectly good and the overflowing fountain of all good? What draws sinners to Christ the first time and for all time is seeing and trusting the goodness of God in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Think of Hebrews 11:6, stating there, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Now that reference to God being a rewarder to those who come to Him, it clearly testifies, doesn't it, about God as being most good. You come to Him, you won't be disappointed. He's the overflowing fountain of all good for us. His goodness is about His overflowing generosity in His whole being, in our every need, As you and I call upon him and depend upon him day by day. Think here of Jesus' words too in Matthew 7:11, where the Savior says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" His goodness means his overflowing bounty in all his ways and being. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Still with just the first phrase of this text, do you say and confess in true faith day by day, whatever your circumstances, "Oh God, you are good"? Shouldn't we as confessing believers acknowledge this and that much more than any of us do, really? Don't we sin the sin of omission when failing to acknowledge time and again how good you are, Lord? And that for such undeserving sinners like ourselves, you and me. Oh, help us to taste and see that you are infinitely good and bountifully good in your triune being and in all your works and ways, and so to praise you accordingly. How good when we exhort each other, by the way, in this way, in our homes and in our churches and fellowship with one another and in Christian testimony to those around us. Yes, shouldn't this mark us as true believers? With us ever praising the one only God so inexhaustibly, endlessly, excellently good, altogether lovely, altogether good in himself. And who always only does good too. Isn't this persuasion what also results in God's people, by God's grace and Spirit, being careful to maintain good works and even being zealous for good works, as the Apostle Paul exhorts in Titus 3? A good tree brings forth good fruit, Jesus taught. And if we care not for this at all, doesn't that mean, sadly, we don't yet know the Lord in spirit and truth? We don't know him as the one only true God who is all good and always doing good. Today also, as congregation of the Lord here in Calgary, don't we have every reason to testify God is good? Not only that God is good, but that he does good, as the psalmist declares in the next phrase of our text. And here we come also to our second thought under our theme, faithfully confessing that God is good and does good. We have reflected in praise on God being good. Now let's consider more the psalmist's perspective on God doing good. You agree with me to say that God is good, and then to say further that God does good is further professing faith in the one only true God, who is always good. The psalmist here, you see, expresses the godly and Christian perspective concerning God in all of life, regardless our circumstances. In verse 65, the psalmist, he acknowledges God has dealt well with him. Though in the same section, if you read it carefully, several times, he speaks of suffering afflictions and of having difficult challenges in life, also from the unbelieving, ungodly people around him. Well, do you and I have this believing perspective too? That not only God is always good, but that he always only does good? You know, sometimes, and maybe many times, if we're honest, we can struggle in this confession, especially when under heavy trials or whatever trial. But yet, this is what God's true people come to acknowledge by God's grace and Spirit. And how wonderful when we hear that also from each other in the midst of the trials of life. Then we praise God and his goodness to us, yes, even in our trials and tribulations, believing indeed God does good and he always means and intends all things for good, even when those things don't seem good at all that we have to go through sometimes. He makes afflictions profitable for us, the Bible says, in such a way, yes, that God's people learn to testify, as another put it, quote, that growing sanctification to God's glory in and through affliction is better than simply deliverance from out of our afflictions. Do you believe that too? Growing sanctification to God's glory in and through affliction is better than simply deliverance from out of our afflictions. One Bible commentator states thus correctly about this section of Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72, that this section gives 8 marks of a thankful soul delivered from heavy trouble for a time. In that light, in this week, when preparing this sermon, I came across the recent testimony of Johnny Tada Erickson, in an article telling of her praising God for not healing her. You may know about her. She was celebrating just recently her being 55 years now, or celebrating, remembering, 55 years now in a wheelchair, ever since her diving accident when she was 18 years old. Just listen to part of Johnny's testimony as she writes, quote, "I sometimes wonder, who am I that you brought me thus far? Lately I've been whispering this question from 1 Chronicles 17:16, where David the king says, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far?' So Johnny says, 'Who am I to enjoy a platform on national radio for 40 years? Who am I that I should be so blessed in marriage to Ken for 40 years? And how did I ever have strength to survive 55 years as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair?' The truth is," she says, "I don't have the strength for this. I still wake up every morning needing God desperately. Like David, I often confess," she says, "I am poor and needy." Perhaps that's how God brought me this far, she testifies. "I cannot say, but I do know the eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are looking to Him and committed to Him. God is searching high and low," she writes, "for weak people who love Him so that He can pour into them His strength, His goodness." And maybe that's my story. "But how I arrived here," she says, "is not for me to say. I just keep praising my sovereign God with every milestone I pass. It's a noble cause of Christ to which I've dedicated myself for decades, and I can't think of anything that gives me more joy. Yet as I reach the milestone of 55 years of quadriplegia, not to mention 2 bouts of cancer, severe breathing issues, COVID-19, and chronic pain, I hold tightly," she writes, "to Acts 20:24, where the Apostle Paul says, 'I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. The Lord Jesus has given me the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace in Christ Jesus.'" And with this anniversary marking 55 years in my wheelchair, she says, "I'm reflecting on more than a few milestones through which God has done amazing things." And then the article goes on further to tell the many ways and ministries that God has used her, even internationally, with her particular trials in life. Now the point is, with me giving you that example, is do you and I too confess and profess every day, whatever comes our way, "Oh Lord God, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Don't we see that beautifully reflected also in Johnny's testimony, as well as the psalmist's testimony in our text? When we consider more God doing good, just think of the good He does in His creative handiworks and His blessings for us from nature. I mean, think of the beauties out there, flowers, birds, creatures, all kinds, and what variety of foods just He gives us to enjoy. Think of how many good things He grants us when we are healthy in body each day again. And then how many good things still when we suffer poor health in one way or another. Just considering the hospitals and medical care we yet do have here, free, albeit not without problems. You know, all around the privileges in life that we are given in this part of the world yet to enjoy and have. And God's providential care too for us are numberless, are they not? Are they not? When you consider too how we receive so many good gifts far above what so many others have, is there not abundant reason to say God is good and does good As we drove by the hospital this morning, Rocky View Hospital, I said to my wife, we have every reason to thank God for his goodness when we drive by the hospitals and don't have to go to the hospitals. When we just count our blessings and name them one by one, shouldn't we all say time and again what great things God has done? Yes, also for us now as a church family, especially with learning the response of Brother Chris Maurek, that yes, he will come to serve here, all being well, here in Calgary FRC, to serve as our next minister of the gospel among us. Oh, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yes, most of all, and by far, for the spiritual blessings in and through Christ Jesus, and living in faith and repentance and believing devotion before him. Oh, when you and I are Christians in spirit and truth, is that not all of God and his sovereign grace and his amazing, boundless goodness to us? Always undeserved goodness towards us for Jesus' sake alone. And just think, Jesus suffered so much ill will in all his saving work for sinners like us when he was here on earth fulfilling God's goodwill towards sinners for his own namesake. One theologian wrote, quote, to demonstrate his goodness to man in preventing his eternal ruin, God would for a while withhold his goodness from his son, exposing him to the price for our ransom, a price which meant him bearing the whole wrath of God on sinners' behalf and the equivalent of eternal hell on sinners' behalf. Well, putting it all together, don't you agree? Doesn't God do us most gracious, generous, unmerited good every day when leading us to Christ and also by his Spirit leading us in true conversion initially and ongoing consecration to him more and more, day by day? Don't we have to say to him be all the glory when you and I trust and obey him in spirit and truth, in private and public, at home and at church and throughout every day of the week of our lives. Salvation is of the Lord. And that means, when we understand it, when true believers every day receiving out of his countless mercies and manifold generous good gifts for soul and body, even when proving ourselves time and again so undeserving of any goodness from his fatherly hand. Well, in my sermon preparation, I came across a song that reflects the believing, joyful mindset of our psalmist when he says, God is good and only and does good. Teach me your statutes. This 18th century believer wrote, when all your mercies, O my God, my waking soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. 10,000 precious gifts my daily thanks employ, nor is the least a cheerful heart that tastes these gifts with joy. Through every passing phase of life, your goodness I'll pursue, and after death in distant worlds, the glorious theme renew. Through all eternity, to you a joyful song I'll raise. But oh, eternity's too short to utter all your praise. Well, can you identify, congregation, with these words? Each one here. To know whether this is our genuine Christian testimony too or not, let's consider yet the third point under our theme. Faithfully confessing that God is good and does good. Considering the psalmist's praise of God here and his perspective on God, and now yet his petition to God. He says right afterwards, teach me your statutes. And it's a petition repeated at least 8 times in the whole of Psalm 119 just. What is the psalmist confessing really here? But Lord, let all your goodness as God and your bountiful good doing towards me and us as God of creation and God of providence and God of salvation, let it all result in myself and others truly and increasingly loving you and your word. Teach me, teach us more and more that you are good and do good as revealed especially and truthfully and splendidly in all your word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. Congregation, with this last phrase in the text, don't we learn here? That true faith in God shows itself in ongoing faithfulness in his ways and prayer and petition to that end. If you and I sincerely confess God is good and does good, it needs to show then too in our ever wanting to learn more and more of our good God and of his boundless goodness towards us in countless ways. What identifies and describes true believers is not just that you say, I look to Jesus, the Savior, and I trust him, but then that it shows in your life that you desire to know and enjoy him more and more and to glorify him forever. Again, this theologian wrote, how should we endeavor after the enjoyment of God as good? How we should endeavor after the enjoyment of God as all good. And when that's the case, then you agree, then the Bible also becomes not mostly a closed book for you and me, but one that rather we daily read, if at all possible, and the one we love to hear expounded and applied in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. Is that now how it is with you and me, or not so? When it's well with our soul, by God's grace and Spirit, congregation, the goodness of God, as revealed in God's world book of nature, delights us a lot, plus his goodness in providence is a matter of joy to consider. Yes, in good times and difficult times. But above all, what most blesses you and characterizes us time and again then is God's goodness and mercy and loving kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We just can't get over it. And we want to learn it more and more and be more and more filled with it. Then we say and we testify and we demonstrate. Never can we hear or have enough of him and his gospel word about all his goodness, knowing what Jesus also says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Well, does this make sense, beloved, hearing this? Do you see with me how the added petition, teach me your statutes, shows the genuineness of expressing God is good and does good? It's like the psalmist saying, Lord, show me and teach me and lead me by your goodness as most revealed in your written word and the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Again, I ask then, do you and I have this hunger and thirst to keep learning and growing in the way of grace and truth and godliness as taught us in all the Holy Scriptures from cover to cover, Old Testament and New Testament? Doesn't Peter so instruct us in 2 Peter 1:19, where he says, and so also we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rise in your hearts. Well, do you agree too? If this petition in Psalm 119, verse 68 is ours, like with the psalmist, along with his praise and perspective, won't it show? Won't it show then by us, by all means, supporting faithful gospel ministry, locally and abroad, as God enables us? And now with receiving a new minister in due time, in God's goodness to us, won't we then also stand behind him with our prayers and our finances and with whatever needed helps and encouragements we might give him and his family as he begins in his first charge in gospel ministry? Shall we show him support too by regularly attending and attentively listening to the word of God he is led by God's Spirit to preach and teach and model to us week after week? Oh, what a joy for any minister when the congregation eagerly drinks in the word time and again. When Psalm 119, verse 68 is the true and faithful testimony of a believer and of a Christian congregation, then we become a spirit-filled, word-directed, Christ-focused, God-glorifying, and missionary evangelical people and church. May the Lord so bless us by his word and spirit, for without a doubt it's so good, and indeed very good, when we may be such a people and such a church, with the psalmist's God-honoring praise and perspective and petition, teach me your statutes. God is good and does good. Teach me your statutes. And then we can but be also zealous for good works and careful to maintain good works, knowing and trusting, as Titus further says, as Paul says further to Titus, these things are good and profitable to men. those who live by Psalm 119:68 take to heart Jesus' exhortation in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And isn't this the heart's desire and resolve of all confessing believers, to live all out to God's praise and honor and for our neighbor's good, both locally and worldwide? Oh, beloved church family, there's no life like being a Christian and having this godly perspective of Psalm 119, verse 68. If this is not your testimony, oh, pray God it becomes so, even today, calling out to Jesus, the good Savior, so to bless you and lead you to in the way of his saving grace and gospel truth and life everlasting. Think of how awful for all in hell one day, knowing God is good and does good, but all our lives continuing in unbelief and rejection and rebellion against him. Oh, God forbid such remain true of any of us here, but that all here trust and obey the gospel call while it's yet the day of grace. Indeed, now on this especially happy day for us, dear congregation, let's one and all testify concerning God and to one another. You are good and do good. Teach me, teach us your statutes. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text. It's a beautiful text. And I have to confess, as I'm pretty soon 68 myself, Lord, let verse 68 be a lamp to my feet and a light upon my path till my last breath. But Lord, this prayer is not about me. It's for us as congregation. So let it be true for all of us, Lord, that this prayer be the prayer, and this verse be a lamp to our feet, a light upon our path for each one of us, whatever age and stage of life we are in. Lord, you are good and do good. Teach me, teach us your statutes. Oh, so bless us and make us a blessing. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.